The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Time to play the game! Time to play the game! It's all about the game! And how you play it? All about your
game! Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Tip of the Tower podcast, and today Austin is out. I sub in Jake. I'm the normal. I'm the normal, consistent in the podcast. Although, because I am hosting, I guess that's how it works. David Morisuti here, trying to do a podcast while the Dallas Cowboys are playing the New Orleans Saints, and I have a lot on the line in this game. Money wise, with the survivor pool, and Jake's got some. He's got some money too. Jake, it's not a good Sunday when you're basically looking at the final, well, not the final game because there's still the Monday Nighter, but one of your final games and you need something badly to go your way.
I really don't like taking point totals because just game flow is completely dictates how many points are going to be scored. This one's probably not going to be a lot of points, especially considering how just lackadaisical these guys are with how much time they're taking.
Yeah, this has been this game has been very slow paced because both offenses are not like they're trying things and then failing miserably, like a reverse that just happened right now that Dallas was totally ready for apparently. So so Austin is doing something tonight. He's been texting me some stuff that I need from him in terms of predictions, so we got those. So if he's able to hop on kind of at the end there, that's why I'll save the predictions for the end. That way, if he's able to give them in person, he can give them in person. So, Jake, the last time Austin and I did the podcast, we discussed the Mitch Marner contract.
Mm-hmm.
You can give your thoughts on the contract, or we can take this a different road, and the road that kind of everyone on Twitter has been going on, which is, how do other contracts that have been signed after Marner's kind of put things into perspective for the Leafs? Which avenue do you want to go? Do you want to talk the deal itself?
I mean, I'm tired of the comparables. I mean, it's a terrible contract. Everyone knows that. You just knew that Rantanen wasn't going to sign anywhere near that money. So it's just really annoying how this media-driven thing, how he's basically worth this money, and then everybody acts like, oh yeah, it was a fair deal for Mikko Rantanen. So basically the Leafs had to pay up to get a supposed lifelong fan to sign with them.
Yeah, this is the part. I understand as an agent, you're trying to get your client the best deal. But then you see the other deals. Like the bridge deals, I put those aside. Those are not
comparable. No, they don't count.
They don't count. They're three-year deals opposed to six. You know, and I know how much agents now figure in the way the cap is going to change and all that. Those are irrelevant. If people are mad about the bridge deals, the Leafs were not in a position like Tampa, Calgary. Who else did bridge deals? Technically, Winnipeg with Laine, but they ended up doing a long-term deal with Connor.
Columbus, Boston.
Well, Columbus was that was I think that was more of the player didn't want to sign the long-term deal. Because if you're Werenski, why the hell would you want to sign a long-term deal in Columbus?
Well, you got to be there for what is it, 4 years until he's free agent? Yeah, four. So,
yeah.
And he signed three with a pretty good qualifying offer.
He did. And that's the other thing, too, is all these guys signed for qualifying offers, like bigger salary at the end of the contract, which means the qualifying offer is kind of like the starting base on the next negotiation. So Braden Point, I think, was like nine or just over $9 million. Guess what? Tampa's going to be starting at nine when it comes to a contract for him. I also get the argument with, you know, the taxes and stuff.
No, it doesn't make sense because bonuses are taxed differently. So, you're not it's dumb. No, people act like they're fucking accountants, but no, in the end, it doesn't really matter.
So, what is your bigger problem? I mean, obviously, the issue here for, and we'll just say this. The Leafs can pay these guys whatever they want because they can afford it. Money-wise, they can't. We know that. The Leafs can pretty much print money. The issue is that when the league puts in a hard cap like this, you expect the players to realize, okay, if you guys take this much, that means you're only leaving us this much. I also understand, like, in the Leafs' case, the forwards, like, when you sign Tavares to $11 million, they've kind of set a standard there, and like that was the guy that everyone was comparing to, in my mind. Do you feel like that was what happened?
Maybe. I have no idea how you're even negotiating like it's a precedent. Annoys me was it's basically like the Leafs were negotiating as if they didn't have like bird rights. Or all these guys have no rights. Like, none of them have rights. And they negotiated like they're free agents, and they're not. They're restricted free agents.
Yeah. I think that's probably the part had more to do with Nylander and how that one played out because the player said, yep, I'll sit out. I don't mind that at all. And the team was just like, oh, we didn't expect you to sit out this long. We better figure something out. And then other agents are like, well, you don't want our guy to sit out like Nylander did. I think that
was... It's just such a veiled threat. Like, I can't believe he took that long to do it, but there's just no way you're going to sit out an entire season.
It is a tough one. I do admit that if you were the Kyle Dubas and you told Mitch Marner, we think you're worth this, and he says no, and I'll sit out until I do it. I know you don't want it, the constant questions every day. When's the deal going to get done? When's the deal going to get done? But it's also your job to make sure the team is getting the best value at the end of it. Not to appease the player to get him in camp. If he wants to sit out of camp, that's his choice. He wants to make it tougher. Let him make it tougher on himself. Your job is to serve the team first. And I think... The problem is Dubas is trying to find a way to get that happy medium between both, and he's realizing that was tougher than I think he expected. So I don't know where exactly where those conversations were had in terms of we heard about the 11x7 for Marner, and everyone flipped about that, and then this contract comes out, and you're like, that's not much better either. So what would you have signed Marner at, Jake, if you had your choice?
I think the highest I would have done is 80 over 8, 10 by 8. That's the max I would have gone.
So that's about 800,000 less than what he got per year.
But he did 6.
That's right. He did 6. So would you have been okay with that 10.8 if Dubas got 8 years?
Yeah, probably.
Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, the thing is we're saying this about Marner, but Matthews is under the same boat, too.
I thought that was a shit deal, too. Like, it never made sense. Like, when they were negotiating, and he was like, I can't do it for the team because the number on a long-term deal would be so much, it would be cap-restrictive. It's like, why? Like, what? Again, there's, like, no precedent. And it's just, I don't know. All the Leafs guys have just gotten basically whatever deal they wanted. And it's just so annoying.
Yeah. But now what? This all goes away if they perform. If what?
Exactly. But, I mean, it doesn't help because that probably, the $2 million, they probably overpaid both of them, which adds up to probably $3 million. That's a good backup goalie. That's a sixth defenseman that isn't Martin Marincin. Okay. Like, it matters. And they're just going to have to continually just bring through players. Like, obviously, it's great to see, you know, Sandin make the team, and I hope he becomes a really good player. But they got to get more prospects in, and they can't keep trading first-round picks.
They can't keep trading first. Yeah, because you need those first-round picks now.
Yeah, that's your only way of getting cheap talent.
Like, I look at a guy like Trevor Moore, who's going to probably play a bigger role this year because of that.
He also, with a guy like that, you got to start risking it. You got to start signing him to a $3 million for 7 years. Like, you got to risk it and hope that some of them overperform. Not like onerous contracts, but something where they definitely have to do like what they did with Connor Brown. Didn't he sign like a 5-year deal for like 2.8 or something? Like, he obviously wasn't good enough to have that contract for the Leafs, but he's very easy to trade because it's not like he's garbage.
I think his was 4 years at like 2.1. I think him and Hyman got similar. It's almost like Hyman's, like where you get some.
Hyman had like a 5 or 6 year deal though.
I'm trying to remember. It's been so long.
Like, Brown's was 3 years, 6.3. Mm-hmm. I think Hyman's was like 5 years.
All right, let me double check that. Just because I wanna
get Hyman's was 4 years, $9 million.
Okay,
so the Leafs haven't signed anybody to over 6 year deal
other than Tavares, but that was a free
agent. Yes,
I think the big one here, and I don't think Austin and I really talked about this, but Travis Dermott has to be the one.
You have to start taking risks and giving long-term security to guys that aren't obviously elite players, but they're average to above average players.
It's like, I totally agree on that because eventually you got to figure out a way to get value on it. Because right now the Leafs are getting at or above market value for these contracts in terms of, these guys are getting every penny they can. Like, when they sign Kapanen and Janssen to... I mean, Janssen got the 4 years at 3.4. Kapanen got the 3 years at 3.2. You're like, yep, that's what they should get based on what they've done. But you wish they could have extended those years a little bit more.
Yeah, but, I mean, with how much money that they have going to three players, I mean, it's hard. You know, if these guys aren't overpaid by a million, $2 million, then you can get it. But when you do shit like this, pay some kid that's everybody's playing the hometown card and he signs for $1.5 million more than he should, it doesn't help.
Yeah, I think it helps when, I mean, the Kerfoot deal can be, based on what I've seen, what I saw from him when I went to the preseason game, $3.5 million for your third-line center is pretty good.
Yeah, that's probably what he should get, but you should have tried to do it, you know, 5 years. They did what, three?
They did four.
Four. Oh, that's not bad. Okay, I thought it was three.
The good thing about Kapanen's deal is that he is an RFA at the end of it, so you're not walking him through UFA, unlike Janssen.
Right.
I think that's the benefit to that deal. But I also could see a guy like Janssen or Kapanen, if they need to make room to add a defenseman down the road, one of those two is going to be gone. they were close to being gone until Carolina took Marlowe's contract.
Yeah, they actually got lucky, and think about how much that saved them. He took a bullet for them. I mean, it kind of sucks they had to give up something, but imagine if he decided to stay, they'd be screwed.
No, and that's the other thing, too, is Patrick Marlowe was willing, and he's not signed to anything right now.
He's probably not going to play this year, which is kind of frustrating because they could have just LTIR'd him if he retires, but I think he still wants to play, but who knows what will happen.
Maybe he's just waiting for a team to call, like, for him. The thing with veteran guys, they don't really need a training camp. It's more for the younger.
Nobody
guys.
Really needs a training camp anymore. Guys are like, training camp was made so guys could get into shape. Now they are in shape.
Yeah, I think the only thing is you don't want to have what happened with Nylander, where you're coming in and you're just totally flustered and not ready to get going right off the bat. That's the other thing.
Right.
Yeah, in this training camp, in this preseason, the problem was is there was so much talk about stuff happening off the ice, that on the ice, nothing was really discussed at length. Like, when I watched them play Detroit, like, Detroit's going to be so bad this year.
Holy. They're horrible.
Like, I know they had half of their NHL and some of their AHL on it, but, like, the Leafs took, like, they picked them apart. They had, I think they had like 16 shots on goal.
They just look like they're going to be on the treadmill, just the forever garbage treadmill.
Yeah. I mean, with Steve Yzerman there, I guess they can be somewhat confident that he will make the tough decisions like he did in Tampa. Although Tampa had quite a bit of that stocked up for him, and he just kind of move some things around, and we'll see how he progresses with that team. But like, when you look at the Leafs, the power play looks different with but it doesn't feel different. Like, having Marner and Matthews switch sides, I know they're trying to open up Matthews for that one, like, kind of the Kucherov one-timer, like the OV one-timer off using his off wing.
He's not really a one-timer guy. He's more of like a snapshot guy.
That's true.
He's gotta be like in the slot.
Yeah, and then right now they don't. So like, Tavares is kind of Johnsson is in front of the net. Tavares is the slot guy. Then you got Riley at the point, and then Marner and Matthews along the boards. I think though with Matthews' shot, and we've seen it so many times, he's able to find those holes, and that's probably why he's off to the side. And Tavares, I feel like, is a bit better in the slot because he's able to get, you know, the pucks through, and he's able to snap it off quickly. But I like Tavares more in front of the net. He's just so hard to knock off the puck off of. He's so strong.
Yeah, no, like, he's playing net front, isn't he?
Yeah, I think him and Johnsson are kind of going back and forth there, but Johnsson doesn't really make sense in that regard because he's smaller, right?
Right.
So
yeah,
the power play, it was only an issue in the playoffs. It wasn't really an issue during the season. 5-on-5 is where I was a little concerned because of how many changes were being made. You know, with Hyman being out. I like Kapanen on the Tavares Marner line if he's willing to not play the Hyman role, because I mean, obviously he's a more skilled player than Hyman, but be willing to, you know, hit guys along the boards, chase down the puck because he's got that incredible speed. I like what I see from that unit. I mean, Marner and Tavares drive that line offensively, and Kapanen will be the beneficiary of some gift passes and all that, and probably will have a better chance of burying them over Hyman, so that's a plus. Nylander and Matthews being back together is going to be good. I mean, we saw that goal that Nylander scored on the power play on Saturday night. Like, what an absolute rocket of a shot.
Mm-hmm.
So, I like what I saw there. The third line with Mikheyev, Kerfoot, and Moore, that's a line I can get behind.
Yeah, that'll be a fun line to see what they can do. I hope all of those guys are going to be on the penalty kill, because that's probably the biggest weakness the Leafs have, is outside of backup goaltending, is probably their penalty kill, because it's the only reason they lost that series to Boston. It's the only reason.
Yeah, they need guys like, that can clear the get the puck out. They had struggled with that a lot.
Yeah, I'd say so.
Because I'm trying to remember. Like, I think Gauthier's going to do some PK work. Mikheyev, Trevor Moore will be good on the PK.
You have to have someone who's got way quicker feet.
Yeah.
Because, holy crap, Gauthier doesn't have it. Also, it should just be better because Zaitsev and Hainsey aren't going to be on the penalty kill, because they are just actually ticking time bombs. They just throw grenades. They don't shoot it off the glass. They just throw it right up the middle. That's the most annoying thing, is guys that just don't take 5 milliseconds longer and not toss it up the middle.
And kind of, they're playing the front of the net. Sometimes I felt like, all right, you're not really doing much. You're kind of just there. You're just standing in front of the net. They're very, like, nonchalant with guys trying to, you know, screen Anderson and all that. So I do think in some cases with this team, a good part of this improvement will be addition by subtraction.
Yep, should be. They cut a lot of dead weight, so.
They got more depth, too, I feel. Like, I know Nick Shore is not the most exciting name, but if, like, Goat goes down and Spezza goes down.
I think they got better. I still want to see what they do for a backup quarterback. Or backup goalie. Because I think that's by far the biggest weakness that they need to address.
Yeah, Hutchinson looked good against Montreal, then he looked not so great. I mean, he looked okay against Detroit. But yeah,
I keep seeing things about, like, Tristan Jarry. Is he going to Colorado? And, like, they keep saying a Jack Johnson trade, which would make no sense for Colorado. But, like, is Tristan Jarry going to get waived? Is he going to get traded? Because I don't know why the Leafs wouldn't trade for any of them.
Yeah, I mean, if you're the Leafs, I know that the Penguins really want to get rid of that contract. Like, that Jack Johnson, they just want to get rid of Jack Johnson. That was such a terrible signing. And they're trying so hard. Like, it's so hard when you're trying to make up for a mistake, and it's... So this is where it was. I was reading an article saying that Rutherford says he's open to trading a goalie. He's had conversations. I'd assume the Leafs would have been one of them. But yeah, they have Jarry and they have... Who's he? Oh, DeSmith.
Yeah.
So...
They're both not great, but they're better than any of the clowns at the Leafs that have a backup.
I would take Jarry, though, for sure. I mean, even just...
Yeah, of course, yeah.
I know that they don't want to waive Jarry because they know that a team like the Leafs would put in a claim for him. A lot of teams would have put a claim for him, I feel. But, yeah, the backup goal, it just feels like so many teams, like Boston has a really good backup, but they paid a lot for it. Like, the backup goalie job has kind of a weird valuation in terms of, some teams will pay a lot for it, some teams just don't want to pay at all, like the Leafs. And they can't, and unfortunately, the Leafs really can't afford to pay out like what Boston did for when they got Halak. That's the problem.
Yeah, seems like that's the way you got to do it. Is not, if it's not just a complete tandem, you got to have someone who's able to play what amounts to probably 20 or 30 games.
Yeah, and we know that they need their backup to play. I want to see the backup play at least 28 to 30 games.
That's a lot. I was going to say 20.
Well, okay, 25 is the number I think I've been hearing the most, and that makes the most sense just because...
It just seems very unrealistic. I think Freddie might have played 70 games last year.
No, he played less than that. He was in the 60s. He was in the 60s for sure.
Had to have been high 60s.
He played... I got the number. Come on, down.
I'm going to say 68.
Played exactly 60 last year.
Wow.
The reason, though, is also because he got hurt last year.
That's right.
That's the main reason why he didn't play as much.
I feel like I never saw him... I know he missed, I think it was like 4 games.
There was a stretch where him and Sparks both got injured, and that's why Hutchison was brought in.
It was like late December.
Yeah, because they beat Vancouver. And then...
They lost to Boston, I remember that.
Yeah.
Like 4-3 where they couldn't stop a nosebleed.
Trying to think what else, what other games they would have been through. But yeah, like, it's just also, if Freddie goes down, can we trust Hutchison to take
the
launch? We can't. We honestly can't. No. And the problem is, the goalies and the Marlies are just so young that even they wouldn't be ready for it. If Joseph Woll and Ian Scott get a good full year, and then you kind of see, kind of down. And even with Kaskasui. There's been so many pronunciations of that.
Didn't they release him though?
No, he's been reassigned to the Marlies. I'm pretty sure he cleared waivers. Yeah, we finally get a goalie that doesn't get claimed on waivers.
But yeah, that probably means they're not good.
I mean, it's also because teams are just looking for a guy that has the NHL experience. That's why McElhinney was picked up. That's why Pickard, even though he wasn't great, was picked up. These teams want their backups to have that NHL experience, because then it gives the younger AHL goalies more reps to play more rather than just sit on the bench. So that's going to be a key thing for the Leafs. I think it would be wise for them to try to make a trade for a goalie if they can shed a deal. But I think Pittsburgh has... Sorry, I'm just watching the Dallas Cowboys absolutely destroy Teddy Bridgewater right now on a sack.
What the hell was that dance?
I don't know. Robert Quinn has been a freaking beast since he's been with the Cowboys, but my God, that was so weird. I will never complain about a hockey player celebration after watching that. Let's just say that. Let's move forward, though. I mean, the Leafs... Okay, let's bring this one thing up quickly, though. I'm going to kind of put you on the spot, because I'll talk about this, too. The Austin Matthews situation. Austin and I said we weren't going to touch this with a 10-foot pole. 10-inch pole, 10-foot pole.
10-foot pole.
10-foot pole, thank you, because 10 inches is not that long. The only reason why is we didn't know the full details. The Leafs hadn't really talked about it. I'm not going to talk about the incident itself because, frankly, it's a personal matter. I'm not talking, I don't like, it's not my position to talk about that. What I will talk about, though, is the irresponsibility of not telling the Leafs. And
That was embarrassing. It makes no sense to me. It's like even if you tell your parents, I don't know, I have no idea.
His parents knew, the parents knew about it.
Then that's even worse. That's on people that are supposed to be working with them and handling with them. How they don't tell them, that would be the first person you tell. They're going to find out.
Like, this is the thing. I think, personally, he says it was an error in judgment. I think he thought this was going to go away quietly. Because it didn't happen in Toronto, it happened in Arizona. You know, he was hoping that it would kind of slide under the water, you know, just kind of go away. And unfortunately, when you have people who, I don't know how this person found it in the first place, when the first, because we all saw the picture of the guy, someone took a screenshot of the website, like, it was almost, it wasn't a fluke because somebody else in Arizona could have found it, like, if a news reporters kind of look at these things. So they saw Austin Matthews' name. They're like, oh, Austin Matthews, the very famous player that is from the Phoenix area, from the Arizona, lives in Arizona. I think this is something worth writing about, or, like, worth sharing. I think he got caught trying to keep things quiet, but just give your just give the Leafs a heads up. It doesn't mean they're going to, they might decide, you know what, let's just get ahead of it, and then we can deal with this the right way. Because when the one thing they, and especially in PR, the worst thing you can do is get blindsided by something and not have a plan of action of how to deal with it. Because the Leafs are totally, like, I felt so bad for Kyle Dubas.
Yeah, I kind of looked at it in a bad light for them, because I just figured they had to have known this. But considering what everybody was saying, it's just a really tough situation for them.
It is. It's, you know, he's had so much shit to deal with. Like, to be fair, he had so much to deal with the contracts and all that stuff. To have to deal with something like this, like, look, it's part of, it comes with the job to have to deal with stuff that happens with players off the ice. But for him to find out, like, everybody else
is... On Twitter, he said.
He found out on Twitter. And he called him right away. Like, how do you think that... I know that conversation probably went...
Especially considering the contract that he gave him.
Yeah.
Which is, in my opinion, a terrible one, but extremely player-friendly.
Look, the Leafs put their faith in saying, you are a... We just made you the highest paid player on our team for a reason. And you go out and you just tell us that we're not worth a phone call when you have an issue that we can help you with. It's not like the Leafs were going to cut him or anything. The Leafs would have tried to help them because it'll look better for their image if they get ahead of it. So that's all that's what I'm going to say about that. And there's this prevailing thought that, oh, this affects him become the captain. What the Leafs are doing well in this situation is saying, well, we didn't say Austin Matthews was going to be the captain. People were just assuming he was going to be the captain. So they're playing it off as if this situation didn't have any bearing on the captain situation at all, which I think is the right way to go about it. Do you think there was I think many thought Matthews was going to be the captain, but do you think there was a good chance he was going to be the captain?
I thought he was, but I mean, I can't find a reason why he should be after this debacle.
Yeah. I'm of the mind, I mean, it's either Tavares or Riley. I mean, the Riley one got a little interesting in my opinion because Tavares had a very interesting quote at practice. Actually, let me see if I can pull it up. Let's see. Let's see. Here it is. Oh, wait, no. That wasn't it. That was from last night. I'm trying to find the right... here we go. It was from Mark Masters. So Mark Masters tweeted this out from Leafs practice. John Tavares of Morgan Riley. Being through everything he's kind of been through... Oh, by the way, this is a player that has dealt with the situation the right way when he's being accused of something. The type of player he is, how he carries himself on and off the ice, he's got so much respect from everyone in our room. He plays such a vital role for us. He's someone we all look up to. That sounds like a guy that's kind of giving a bit of an endorsement there if you're John Tavares. Is it not?
I think... That's what everybody seems to be thinking. I would rather give it to Morgan Riley personally, but
Well, that's what I'm saying.
I mean, there's no real mistake.
That's what Tavares said about Riley, though. He's like, this is someone we look up to. He's a vital player for us. The only argument that people are trying to make about not giving it to Riley, and it's kind of a ridiculous one, oh, but his contract's up in 2 years. Who cares?
I'm just sick and tired of hearing about contract talk. It just is so nauseating.
But, yeah, and I think, you know, he's been here, I think he's now one of the longest tenured Leafs, if I'm not wrong.
He is the longest tenured Leaf.
So, you know, he understands the market. He understands everything that goes with it. I mean, if him or Tavares get it, it's not a wrong decision either way. But I think it also sends a certain message if Riley gets it, considering all he's been through and has had to deal with, and how he's, and it's not just what he's dealt with, it's how he has dealt with it. He's never backed away from a situation. He's always faced everything head on. His play on the ice has shown that he's taken steps. I can't, and I was actually someone that thought his name shouldn't have been discredited as other people have been, because, oh, he's not Matthews or Tavares. He's not of that level. Well, it depends on how you look at the situation. I think Riley is one of the most important players on the team. So.
Yeah, he probably is maybe the second most important, maybe third.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, Freddie's first.
Yeah.
If you're not even going to include him, which you shouldn't at this point, because it's always going to be a goalie. It's either him or probably Marner, or probably Matthews or Tavares, one of the two.
Yeah. One thing I will say is the Leafs have seen what life without Matthews is like. Life without Morgan Riley, they haven't really seen it to that degree of, like, and it really extended period. So that's my only counter argument to the importance. Although we did say Riley is among the top three, so we're not discrediting his importance in that regard. When it comes to the lineup, I think it's pretty much set. Rasmus Sandin, as you mentioned before, Jake, has really impressed. I was of the mind that he needed to look like really, really good to make this team. I didn't want him to be like, you know, he's good, but he has this little thing that he should work on. If he had anything to work on, he should not be in the NHL then. He should be fixing whatever that is in the AHL. But when I look at what the options would be, it's either Sandin, Gravel, or Ben Harper. I think I'm going to lean towards Rasmus Sandin in this situation. And he deserves it, too. I know we haven't seen a lot of him, although if you watched the game in Detroit where he played over 30 minutes, you saw a lot of him. What about him makes you, do you think Mike Babcock likes?
He just seems steady. He seems like he'll always do the right play, because he does. He is like he always looks so patient, which is something that probably none of the Leafs defensemen have. I mean, especially the going out ones that left the team had no patience.
Yeah, he's willing to make plays in various ways too, whether it's skated out, you know, making a nice breakout pass. He's not a one-trick pony. That's the one thing with him. And yeah, his demeanor is so calm. Like, he's been paired with Martin Marincin, the guy that everyone hates. And he's made that pairing look playable. That's probably my best way to describe it. And looks like Martin Marincin will be that third pairing right shot defenseman.
Hopefully. They still need to find their own right shot D, because I always wonder how. I mean, they're going to have to pick between either one or the other, between Muzzin and Barry, but you have to wonder how they're going to have the space to sign even one of them.
Well, the Leafs will have to do some finessing with the cap in terms of contracts and stuff. Obviously, you would probably prioritize the right shot, because Liljegren, maybe with some time with the Marlies can be a call-up option at one point this season, but you definitely – he's not at to the point where I said, you know what, I can say let Musenberry play it out, and then if they don't sign, they don't sign. No, I think it's like let's not put Liljegren in that position where he has to take over for one of them or take over for Barry. He should be coming in at his own pace, and I think that's what they're trying to do. That's why they made these trades. So, it is going to be tough. There's no doubt. I don't think they're going to sign both, as you say. But I think you should prioritize the one. I think the right side is just so vastly under. Because, look, even CeCe could be gone, too.
Yeah.
I think that you might need Liljegren regardless. So, I think maybe that helps make the decision on signing a guy like Barry. If you say, okay, Muzzin and CeCe are gone, we can use that money to sign Barry. Maybe have to make a trade or two to fix, to alleviate some cap space from the forwards. And that's going to be the way to do it, in my opinion. But, that yeah, I think the defense is going to be something to watch. I think Freddie, he's looked really good in preseason. In past years, he always kind of has those kind of, I don't want to say butterflies, but kind of those like iffy moments. I haven't really seen that from him. Although, I mean, when it comes to posts and stuff, that's a little different. But I think the defense, as long as they play a calmer style in their own end, I think it'll be a very big improvement over what we've seen the past few years. So, I'm going to see. So it does not look like Austin will be able to join us. I don't know where that... It's a Sunday night. It's 11 o'clock at night. He's like, I'm just on the way home right now, so just go without me. What is he doing at 11 o'clock out on a Sunday night? God, I wish I had his life, I guess.
No idea.
So, I want to kind of get your thoughts on what you're looking forward to with the Leafs this season. What's something you're looking forward to watching the most?
I'm looking forward to seeing how Tyson Barry plays. I'm really excited for him. He looks so good, and I'm so upset that he's probably going to only be there for a year, but hopefully they do something special because he's a really good player.
Yeah, I do like... I'm curious to see how everything plays out. I think the defense is going to be better, but I want to see how the forward... I want to see how Matthews and Nylander can try to take... kind of turn the page on what happened last season, especially Nylander. And, I mean, Matthews looked really good in preseason, too. Like, it's preseason. You don't take everything and, like, oh, he's going to be, like, a 50-goal scorer. But the fact that he's been going through all the, like, he's been dealing with his off-ice stuff and that hasn't impacted his on-ice stuff, I think that's been good to see. The rest of the league, we know that the Leafs have had an issue getting out of the first round because they keep beating Boston, which continues to be something that I shake my head about. Do you see a scenario again where the Leafs and Bruins play in the first round?
Yeah, I just know it's going to happen, so I'm just not even going to pay attention to it. I just know it's happening. It's inevitable, so.
No.
It's really annoying. I hate this fucking stupid system. They think it's a good system. It's horrible. But whatever. It's what works for them. I mean, and in the end, the Leafs just have to get over the fucking hump. They should have won both these series.
Yeah. I think maybe getting getting the home ice advantage could be a key factor for them, hopefully. Because they haven't had that. Like, they took that away when they won that first game in Boston. But then I feel, you know, it something just seemed off about them, especially with Dermott and Gardner being obviously not 100%. And hopefully they can, the Leafs can find a way to stay healthier going into the playoffs. Maybe that means having your business kind of settled beforehand, and that you can give Freddie some rest, give some guys some rest. But let's go with some other predictions too. I asked Austin for his. He did give it to me. So Jake, who do you think leads the league in points this season?
That's a good question. I'll probably say probably go Kucherov. Either Kucherov or McDavid. I mean, that just seems really easy. I want to give some bold prediction. Like, I think an outside chance is a guy like Nathan MacKinnon, but I don't know. I kind of see it a different way.
No, I really do like MacKinnon, but I think Kucherov will be the pick. I think McDavid will be close, though. I think it'll be a good 1-2 there. Goals. Let me give Austin's pick. Austin's pick was McDavid. So,
for points?
Yeah. Who do you think will score the most goals this year?
I mean, it's pretty hard to take anybody but Alex Ovechkin. I think he's going to probably get 50 again. He'll probably get 30 in the same spot.
Yeah. I think this could be the year that Matthews tries to challenge him, but unless Matthews stays healthy for a year, I think this is Ovi's to lose. And Austin agrees with that. He has Ovechkin as well. My sleeper, though, to watch out for is Patrick Kane, because he was really good last year. And there's a chance he could be better this year. So I'd keep my eye on Patrick Kane.
I think a sneaky guy who I think could finish top five in goals, I like Brock Besser. I'm a big fan of big-time shooters. He can shoot.
Especially if
there's very few of them, like Kucherov, Ovechkin, Laine, Matthews. But I love the way that kid shoots the puck.
Mm-hmm. Let's go through the goalie wins. Who do you think?
Vasilevsky.
So we're all going with Vasilevsky here.
Yeah, it's pretty easy. He had what, 40 last year, and he was hurt for like a month.
Yes.
Yeah, he should get that.
Because the other issue too is not every team has a workhorse. You know.
No.
I'm trying to think of like Boston, like we know that Rastin played a full season, like did not play a full season because he split the duties with Halak. So I'm trying to find the goalie summary from last year. Why does NHL.com make this so bloody complicated? Here, let's get rid of that. Oh, they make this so goddamn hard. Here we go. And then people wonder why. Okay, Vasilevsky led the league with 39 wins and 53 starts. Holy crap, I didn't realize it was that low.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think Vasilevsky would be my pick. Freddie was only three off, but I think Vasilevsky is just, I think Tampa is going to be on a mission this year. So Austin agrees with that as well. Who are the two teams you think will be in the cup final?
That's really hard. The East is, I'm always hopeful. I'm always hopeful that it's the Leafs. The West is really hard. I don't think it's going to be Colorado. St. Louis, I think, I just don't think they're good. I still can't believe they won last year. If I had to pick, I'll say Vegas.
So you have Leafs Vegas?
Yeah.
Okay, so Austin
has... I also like Nashville. I think Nashville's pretty good.
Yeah, I was going to go with that. I was thinking Leafs Preds. I just think that's... because the Preds, I think they finally got that center iceman that can take some pressure off of Johansson to be just the only guy. And, yeah, I also like that their defense, too, is just so... so good. Austin has it as Lightning and Vegas. And he says, I asked him, who do you have winning it? He says, I'll say Tampa and be happily disappointed in April. Jake, who do you think it's going to be, an Eastern team or a Western team that wins the Cup this year?
The East. I just think the East is so much better than the West. In terms of depth and in terms of the amount of legitimate contenders, like, I mean, I watched the East last year. I think the only reason that they didn't win was because the quality coming out of the East was so bad.
Yeah, and I also think Tampa, like, having just such a bad round one. Like, if Tampa had gone past that round one, I don't think any other team would have beaten them. I just think that Columbus, they just played such a perfect round one that it didn't do matters great in that regard. So, yeah, Tampa's going to be good. I mean, I think a team like Washington will be half decent, so it'll be interesting to see how that all plays out. And now, Jake, we get to watch this Cowboys-Saints game end in complete freaking confusion.
I don't understand what they're even looking at. Like, this is a throw.
They're saying they're trying to determine whether the ball went forward.
I know. It's the dumbest thing.
Oh my god! Also, just they look, how do they look so bad? And here comes the text already about it. Well, with that being said, Austin apologizes for not being on the podcast tonight. He had a busy Sunday on his calendar. We'll see how things go. Maybe we'll do a quick podcast after the game so we get all three of us together. I do have the night off from work, so Jake, thank you again for joining me.
Yeah, no problem.
Let's pray that the Cowboys somehow pull us off, although your bet wouldn't work even if the Cowboys did score. And this is going against the Cowboys since penalty. Oh, Jesus Christ. Okay.
How the fuck is this PI?
A push-off? I don't know. With that being said, you can follow us on Twitter and Facebook. Subscribe to the podcast on our channel.
Oh my.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a Swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.